All this week, we're talking about immigration. Yesterday, we heard from a couple of undocumented immigrants. Tomorrow, we'll hear from some people who have immigrated legally. But in almost every conversation you hear about immigration in this country, you'll hear the refrain that our immigration system is broken. Well, right now, we're joined by somebody who says that is not the case. Jan Ting is a professor at Temple University School of Law and a former assistant commissioner at what used to be the Immigration and Naturalization Service. Jan, welcome.
Hey, great to be with you, Jeremy.
Well, why do you think our system is not broken?
We have the most generous legal immigration system in the world, bar none. We admit more legal immigrants and give them green cards for legal permanent residence in the United States with a clear path to full citizenship than all the rest of the nations of the world combined. It seems to me that's about right. We should be the most generous nation in the world because we're the nation that's benefited from legal immigration more than any other nation in the world. My parents were immigrants. We have a great immigrant tradition. We also admit every year 80% of the resettled refugees in the world.
But we're not meeting the demand. We're not meeting the demand of all the people who do want to come here legally.
We will never meet the demand, right? Anyone who reads the papers knows that there's a worldwide migration crisis underway now. And the question for Americans is, should we let them all come to the United States? Because if we do, they will. We're going to have all kinds of problems. It seems to me what the American people want is a compromise. We're not going to let everyone in the world who wants to come to the United States. We're going to set a very generous number, and we're going to bring them to the United States and try to integrate them into our society.
What about the people who are here illegally already, the 11 million undocumented immigrants in this country?
Well, the hard part about trying to enforce a limitation on immigration is having to turn away people who remind us of our own ancestors, right, who just want to work hard. They're not criminals. They just want a better life for themselves and their families. And because we're going to have a numerical limitation, even a generous one, it means we're going to have to say no to those people.
And what do you mean say no to them? But
we're going to say, you can't come. You can't come to the United States. And if you come in violation of our laws, we're going to have to try and remove you from the United States.
But again, what about the people who are already here? What do you do with them?
Well, I'm just saying part of deterrence is saying if you get past the border and into the United States, you cannot live securely. You are going to be subject to removal if you come to the attention of the authorities.
But is it feasible to remove 11 million people?
That is not the question. That is a straw man.
How is that a straw man?
Obviously, you know, you cannot abolish murder in this country by having laws against murder, right? And you cannot abolish illegal immigration by having laws against illegal immigrants. But what you can do is you can reduce the incidence of the problem. You can reduce the problem by enforcing the nation's immigration laws against the people that violate our laws. And, you know, Donald Trump has just come out with an immigration paper, which I think is going to be very politically significant. And he says, you know, a nation without borders is not really a nation. And a nation that doesn't enforce its laws is not really a nation. And he says the purpose of immigration law is to protect the jobs and the wages and the security of the American people. And I think those are principles that are going to resonate with the American people. And I think immigration is going to become the central issue in this political campaign. I think it already has become the central issue. And Americans are going to have to decide, do we want to have a restrictive immigration system that depends on deterrence to keep the number of illegal immigrants low, or do we want to just let everyone come in?
When you say part of this is about protecting the jobs, I just want to quote a couple of studies here. This is from the Kauffman Foundation. It says between 2006 and 2012, more than two-fifths of the startup tech companies in Silicon Valley had at least one foreign-born founder. And the Partnership for a New American Economy says immigrants founded 28% of all new small businesses in 2011. Is there really evidence that having more immigrants, even more unauthorized immigrants in this country, leads to a taking away of jobs that Americans would take anyway?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, all those little startups don't employ very many people. You know, if you think about the job losses that we've had in this country, those occurred during the time of all these startups. I mean, even Facebook and Google, the big successful tech giants out in the Silicon Valley, really don't employ very many people compared to the manufacturing industry that we used to have in the United States.
But what numbers would you point to show that having more undocumented immigrants leads to fewer jobs for Americans?
I would just point to the fact that the American people have great anxiety over job insecurity right now. The American people have been suffering from low wages, stagnant wages, even though the government keeps telling us the economy's on the upswing, right? And the question is, if the stock market is up and profits are up, how come wages are stagnant? How come so many Americans have to string together part-time jobs to try and keep it together?
But what does that have to do with illegal immigration?
How come 46 million Americans are on food stamps, one out of six? And this has to do with immigration because all of these things occurred at a time of high immigration to the United States. It's not a coincidence, I think, that almost all the job growth that has happened in the United States over the last 10 years, there's a study from the Center for Immigration Studies that says this, all the job growth in the last 10 years has been equal to the number of immigrant workers that have come into the United States. So, you know, all the job growth has, in effect, been taken up by immigration. American workers are suffering from low wages, job insecurity, worrying about whether their kids are going to have as good a life as the older generation has had. Those are real anxieties, and the politicians that recognize it are going to be successful in this election cycle, and the politicians who ignore that reality are going to pay a price.
You know, I asked you about the undocumented immigrants who are in this country and what to do about them, those who are already here. What about the dreamers, the people who really know no other country? They were brought here at such a young age that they've been brought up in the U.S., and this is what they know as home.
Well, I think everyone would concede that among the illegal alien population, the dreamers, the so-called dreamers, are probably the most sympathetic subgroup for exactly the reasons that you've said. And I think that there was a tactical error on the part of the immigration advocates in that they didn't from early on present a single bullet bill that would just address the situation of those individuals.
But what about the DREAM Act, though?
Well, I think it was presented too late after the immigration issue had been inflamed by the debate over so-called comprehensive immigration reform that in the end did not have the votes to pass.
You mentioned Donald Trump earlier, and I just want to come back to what he has said. And he has kicked off this conversation in large part because of what he was saying about Mexican immigrants bringing crime. They're coming in as rapists, bringing drugs. Do you think that the rhetoric goes too far and demonizes people who all they want to do is come over and have a better life for themselves and their family?
I think Donald Trump's rhetoric taps into what the American people are feeling. And on the issue of criminal aliens, you know, in the month of July, as you know, he's talked about illegal immigrant Mexicans as being murderers and rapists. Well, in the month of July, there were at least three American women that we know of who were murdered by illegal immigrant Mexican people, men, who were not only in the country illegally, should not have been here, but whose presence was known to state and local and federal authorities who did nothing.
But we know that overall, the unauthorized immigrant population, the crime rate is lower than the population at large.
Any crime committed by illegal immigrants who are not supposed to be here in the first place is a preventable crime. It's a crime that should not have happened. I think the American people are outraged. And I think, again, you know, we've got an election campaign coming up and we'll soon see, you know, which candidates are able to tap into the authentic feelings of the American people.
But you don't think the rhetoric has gone too far?
I think it taps into the reality of what the American people are feeling.
Do you think that there is any element of racism to people who are vehemently against immigration, illegal immigration?
Well, sure. You know, especially if you use the word any. I think a lot of people feel great unease about their jobs, about their wages, about the future for their children. And if you ask them, well, why do you feel that way? And they'll come out with something like, gosh, there seems like there's Mexicans everywhere, you know, which is obviously a racist statement. But, you know, the American people are not all radio hosts, you know, who are articulate and able to express what they're feeling clearly. So I think, sure, there's an element of racism that edges into the debate, I think almost inadvertently. It's not that people are really racist. It's just that they don't know how else to express the anxiety that they're feeling about things changing around them and causing them all this insecurity.
Jan Ting, a professor at Temple University School of Law and former assistant commissioner at what was the Immigration and Naturalization Service. Jan Ting, thank you for joining us.
Jeremy, always a pleasure.
And you can leave your thoughts and hear our other conversations at hereandnow.org. Tomorrow, as we continue our series on immigration, we'll hear from two people who came here legally.
So we went back to Brazil and expected to wait for 5 years. And we eventually got a letter to receive our visa 11 years later.
That conversation tomorrow on Here and Now.